There are some subjects that you teach that you never get a chance to practice. Right? We can teach the macroeconomics, but nobody gets to be head of the Federal Reserve or something like that. But if you teach them how to solve a specific problem, and then they solve it and then deliver it to the organisation, and then they get the feedback, it's about as good as you can get in education.
When a leading manufacturing company of school buses, Bluebird, reached out to the MSBA program to collaborate with our students, the project turned out to be more than just a data set. It was a project that compiled of more than 24 million possible configurations and making those into a standard bus. An option that hadn't existed until the MSBA Capstone project brought this to life for Bluebird. This is just one example of the types of projects students work on as their required Capstone project to complete before graduation. Dr. Rick Watson, a Regents Professor and MIS at the Terry College of Business, was the faculty advisor for this project. Can you tell us a little bit more about what the project entailed?
Yes. The construction of a school bus is quite complex because there are more regulations for school buses than there are for regular sedans. People are concerned about safety. Each state has its own regulations and so forth. As a result, Bluebird build many different variations of a bus. Almost each bus is a unique product. And complexity is costly. It means you have to buy a lot of different products, manage a lot of different products, put them together in the bus, and sometimes it might mean squeezing things in that weren't quite designed to fit together in a particular way. And it also limits the opportunity for learning because the people who assemble the buses are, in a sense, building a different bus each time. And so Bluebird recognised that this complexity is costly for them, and they wanted someone to help them develop a means of identifying a standard bus. Right? That was our challenge. What's a standard bus for Bluebird?
From my understanding, there were 24 million configurations that you could put into a bus.
I wouldn't be surprised at the exact number. you can think of all of the different combinations of engines, brake systems, seats, right, all sorts of other arrangements. So many different possibilities.
So when a school system would ask them to build a bus, did it matter from different regions of what they wanted in a standard bus?
Yes, because there are regulations for each state.
Right.
And so they have to follow those. Mm. And then the county or the school board might have regulations as well.
Right.
And then there are individual preferences on how you put together the pieces of a bus. Even, you know, where the windows are placed, how far apart they are, mm-hmm. what you have on seats, all of these sorts of things. Many different configuration decisions are offered to the potential bus buyer.
So let's continue with what the project entailed. Would you say a little bit about what the data looked like? We'll start there.
Yeah, we were a bit worried to start with about the quality of the data, but they had a relational database, a well-designed system, so that, and our students had studied relational database the semester before, so we could identify the tables that were needed and then worked with Bluebird to extract the data from the tables so that we knew for each bus all of the components that went into a specific bus, right? That's what we needed to know. Mm-hmm. So I should tell you the analogy. It's like when you go to a supermarket, you purchase a basket of goods. And in the supermarket industry, they do this basket of goods analysis to find out what products that you buy with other products. So you find that very frequently product A and B are purchased together. A bus is a basket of products. So we wanted to find out what products occurred together in pairs and triples and so forth as the first step to identifying the standard bus. Right? It's like a standard basket of goods. You go and buy the same stuff every week at the supermarket.
Right. So for a supermarket, it's peanut butter and jelly. If you recall, what were some of the parts, the configurations that naturally go together in a bus?
It might be the engine. It might be the transmission system. It might be the heating system. The electrical wiring system, the windows, right? Placement of windows, placement of signs, all of these sorts of things are options that a customer has when they select a bus design. Mm. That gives you the 24 million.
Yeah, that's what I get there.
Right. question that I have, and you teach the energy informatics course for Terry. Were there any buses that wanted to be mindful of energy and sustainability?
I asked them if they were producing electric buses, as you might imagine. They are producing some because there are special incentives for electric buses.
Sure.
What surprised me is they haven't built them to make it easy to pull in and out the batteries and things like that. They've just taken their bus and added batteries to it. Some school districts are interested, but it's not a big driver at present.
Okay, sure.
No pun intended.
And so tell us a little bit about the students that worked on this project. There were a team of four, is that right? Or
yeah, we started off with five, and then one student withdrew from the course, so we were left with four. They split up the duties as you would expect. We were fortunate to have someone who was very strong on the technical side, had majored in MIS, and so he was good at writing the code and building the interface that enabled it, the system to work so well. In fact, I think three of them were really strong in that area. And as a result, they produced two products. One was a really nice interface to enable the executives at Bluebird to be able to look at options. Mm. What goes with this? You know, if we have this, how many other products go with this and so forth? And that just enabled them to explore what was actually happening, finding out what was going on in the situation. And then the other one started to do this basket of goods analysis. And when you've got 24 million options, it takes a lot of time to run. So they could only go sort of two or three or four levels, mm-hmm. not many more different levels. They just didn't have the processing capacity on the student's laptop. But the students had all the skills to do that. I think the major issue for them was, what sort of problem do you have? And because I've looked at lots of different problems, I could quickly identify it as a basket of goods analysis, which I was teaching in the class. And so once they knew that, they could go to the next stage pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. That's fascinating because, I mean, you know, it's called a capstone project, and but, I mean, there's a lot in those words, right? It's meant to sort of be the culmination of this experience. So it's a really tie theory to application, right?
Yeah.
And it's, I was going to ask before you said that, sort of, what's it like to be a professor leading one of these projects? Like, what have you learned through the years? So how do you guide this team that's got these raw skills they're looking to put out into the world for the first time, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, that's an important question because you don't want to be too intrusive. You want to give them the opportunity to learn, but you also want to make certain that you're pushing them on the right path. You know, if they weren't aware of basket of goods analysis, they wouldn't have known where to go on the map, if you like. Once you point them in that direction, then they can learn very rapidly what needs to be done. They know the technique, they can read about it and so forth. I think for me, it's always a good experience because I would drive with the students there and we'd chat and talk and things like that. And I'd learn what they were doing and then we would interact there, and I would leave them to ask most of the questions and just try and come in at the end and summarise it and say, I think this is what it is. Does that make sense to you, to the executive mm-hmm. team? And then it was a delight to go to the final presentation where they made the presentation, I sat back, and then you hear someone say, like the CFO of Bluebird, this is culture changing for our organisation.
Oh, wow.
This gives us a new way of thinking about it. And it demonstrates that the notion of a standard bus is achievable, which some people said, no, we can never do it.
Wow.
Yeah. I don't want to get us on too much of a sidetrack, but this was the first year of the business analytics program. And when you walked in after the Bluebird presentation, right. and that the smile on your face to tell us how that they knocked it out of the park at Bluebird is one of the lasting memories I'll have from that year, but also from starting that program. Because, I mean, that was... just like you said, we went and delivered our students. I wasn't on the team by any stretch, but our students and our faculty delivered. That's fantastic. And the pride you had that day it meant a lot to me. So.
Yeah, the students delivered.
Yeah.
I sit back as much as possible, right? It's pretty hard.
Right.
But I'm not here to get the degree. you know, they just did a great job.
Fantastic.
And the students too came in beaming, and they were really excited about it, and and they just came in and wanted to talk about the presentation. That's all they wanted to talk about that evening.
Well, the thing about teaching business analytics is the students soon learn whether or not they know something, right?
Right.
There are some subjects that you teach that you never get a chance to practice, right? We can teach them macroeconomics, but nobody gets to be head of the Federal Reserve or something like that. Mm-hmm. But if you teach them how to solve a specific problem, and then they solve it and then deliver it to the organisation, and then they get the feedback, it's about as good as you can get in education.
Right.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Absolutely.
That experiential learning.
So you talked about the student group going to deliver the final presentation, which was on-site in the Macon area?
Yes. Yep.
What did engagement look like throughout the project with the Bluebird company?
Yeah, so I went to two meetings. The initial meeting to get the understanding of the project and scope it so that it was a reasonable task and something that the students could complete and could be meaningful to the client. And then they had conference calls, right, using Zoom or something like that to interact with the client. They didn't have to go to Bluebird again. There was some talk that we would go and visit the factory, which is in Fort Valley, which is about a half an hour from Macon, but we never really had the time. And when we tried to do it, the factory wasn't operating. It operates mainly during summer, just before school starts, right? So we never got that chance to have a look at the factory. I'd been through the factory many years ago during the UGA new faculty tour. So I'd seen it. But the students missed that opportunity, right? Which would have given them some additional learning, but it didn't seem to handicap their ability to think about the problem. I had the good fortune of teaching them the data analytics class, so I saw them twice a week. And that meant I could keep up to date with the project. And then we also made each of the teams present every 3 weeks in class. So that's the way we monitored what was happening.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the students, too, that weren't in the project were able to see the development of it as well within the class?
Yeah, the idea was across the five projects.
Okay.
They would all see what another team was doing.
Okay.
And what methods they were using. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was meant to spread the learning from one team to all teams. Mm. Right? And we plan to do that this semester. We're going to try and set up a meeting once a week or once every 3 weeks as part of that course.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah.
Good idea.
Because that's maybe a good segue, because Bluebird wasn't the only project we did last year, right? Another one was with the Advictorium solution. Are we ready to talk about that project?
Sure.
Sure, yeah. And Dr. Watson was also the lead faculty advisor for that project as well. Advictorium is a newish company, and they started about a year ago.
No, they're newish for sure. they've experienced a ton of growth within the last year. I think within the last 3 to 4 years, they've gone from 8 employees to over 60. And I'm probably getting some of those numbers a little bit wrong, but I mean, they've really exploded in the last year for sure. And Dr. Watson, could you tell us a little bit about the project they brought us?
Mm-hmm. So as you mentioned, they're growing rapidly. They implement Salesforce solutions for customer relationship management applications for companies. The problem they have is they get lots of projects of varying size and different skills requirements. And this is like a classic job shop scheduling. If you think of a job shop as somebody, little shop, little business, that says, hey, make 10 of these. And then the next door is make 5 of these, and then make 15 of these, and so forth. It's a difficult scheduling problem because you're using different skills and different machinery and so forth. It's a problem that's well known and has been solved using linear programming techniques for 20 or 30 years. And their problem is exactly the same, right? It's a job shop, except this time there is no machinery, there are people. And people need various levels of competency in Salesforce or database or interface design and so forth. So the problem they have is, here's a string of jobs that are coming up. Which ones of those can they take? Do they have enough resources? And what resources do they require? And how can they schedule everybody so that they maximise their revenue? So that was the problem, right?
When you talk about both these projects, what is it specifically that the students are learning in the program that they get to apply to these projects?
So in this one, they had to learn how to set up the problem. You define an objective function. What do you want to minimize or maximize? In this case, they wanted to maximize revenue. And then you have a whole series of constraints. You have a constraint on what resources you have, how long the project is, you know, 40 hours or something like that, how many hours you can use each person each week. And so the thing with that project was to try and find a very good solution to it that someone had already developed. And this was in the literature. So we found that pretty quickly. You know, a set of 20 equations, they reduced it and simplified it a little bit to get started. But they had to take that and then put it into the package in R that solves linear programming problems. This is the sort of general solution. Job shop scheduling is a particular application of that. So they worked out the equations that applied in their case. Then they had to get data from AVS in order to be able to test the model out. So they built a prototype. They ran through with three or four projects, demonstrated how it worked. And then, of course, why don't you do this? You know, we might have this constraint or that constraint, which typically happens. But once you've learned how to add constraints, it's pretty simple to go forward and add another one and then run the solution again, right? So they had to build a way of extracting data out of the database that AVS had for their personnel, their skills and who they were, and then produce a spreadsheet to show them what the results of the solution were. Mm.
Right? So what platform did those students use to be able to present those results for them?
We used R.
R.
Yeah, in that case. R did the number crunching, and then they turned it into a spreadsheet to present back to AVS. And it's just take the output and create it in a certain form. In the case of Bluebird, they created an interface using a website, web-type data. They may have used some R in that as well.
Okay.
Right there. Most of it was done in R.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very cool. And what was their final presentation like in Avictor?
So they had worked very closely with the client from the beginning.
Okay.
Once I knew what the projects were, I contacted the client immediately and said, we need to come and meet with you as soon as possible to learn about the project and get started. And we met with them maybe the first or second week of January. Mm-hmm. And then they met frequently with the liaison, who was Nathan, who's a graduate of the MBA program, and they were able to test prototypes and so forth. So I think by the time we got to the final presentation, everybody knew what it was about. There were no surprises,
okay.
Right? They'd seen the prototype. It was just the formality of saying,
sure.
We're finished, right?
Right.
Quite different with Bluebird. They hadn't seen what they were going to get, and that surprised them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't the same surprise at AVS.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's awesome. So two great projects that the clients were excited about, the results. And they're coming back next year to work with our students. And so we're excited to continue that relationship with them and to bring more students to their table.
Do you have any advice for prospective students for this program?
Yeah, I think getting engaged in the projects, particularly if we find projects where we can deliver a solution that the company desperately needs, mm-hmm. Right? I mean, both of these companies had real needs. These weren't just invented to keep some students busy and, we have a connection with UGA. We solved problems that could be worth a lot of money to the companies, right? That AVS can now plan which projects to take on, decide which resources it needs. It can look ahead, right? Here are all the potential projects. Yeah, we can take that one. We have the resources. No, we shouldn't take that one. It's going to cost us too much. And then ultimately, if Bluebird can reduce the complexity of its business, it can improve its profitability. There's a research that shows that as complexity increases, profitability reduces. And they know that, but they just weren't certain how they were going to get there. And now I think they have some tools that will help them get there. So this is great for the students because they have a real sense of accomplishment. And then they have some skills that they can take to the next organisation saying, sure. You know, in this case, here's a way to solve this problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Watson, for joining us today and talking about it.
Thank you so much.
Good. Yeah. This has been another Data Dogs podcast with myself, Lee Britton, Jake Mosley, and Andrew Salinas. Catch more information at our website, georgiaanalytics.com. You can also follow us on Instagram at Georgia Analytics. Thank you for listening.